learning a lot of things about him. He is the one who keeps us going. He is the one who guides us, directs us, empowers us. And 2 weeks ago, we learned that if you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, there's only one way you're going to get it. That's through fasting and prayer. And sometimes we think, oh, I want that. And then we, the old body can come up with all kinds of excuses why you can't fast. You're too hungry, you can't afford to lose weight, and there's just all kinds of reasons. But the Holy Ghost will help you to do what God wants you to do. And God wants us to experience the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know him personally, like we know Jesus. And you can know him. You can be aware of when he is in your presence or when you are in his presence. And so we just ask that you will listen. And little by little, you will become more used to having him directing your steps. Because tonight, we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to do it. We don't always. In fact, very seldom, actually. If you really want to get brutally honest, and that was the only word that I know, is brutally honest, because we lie to ourselves most of the time. I'm doing exactly what the Lord wants me to do, and we're not. We're not. We're doing what we want to do. And so we're going to start off with a passage that the first two verses are going to be very familiar to you. In fact, you can quote them. Genesis 5, 22 and 23. We're going to look at Genesis 5, 22 through 25. And that will give us the basis of what we're going to do tonight, what we're going to look at tonight, what we're going to study tonight. So Genesis 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is not a suggestion. That is actually a command. It's in the imperative form, and it is a command that we are to walk in the Spirit. Now, how does a person know when they're walking in the Spirit? Over the last 6 weeks or so, we've been looking at various aspects of the Holy Spirit of God and his relationship to our Christian experience. Without him, we have no Christian experience. And that's why some people seem like baby Christians all the time. They never grow because they never develop a relationship to the Holy Spirit that saved them and caused them to be born again. They don't understand that he is a normal, natural part of the Christian life. Just as Jesus is our Savior, and it feels so right to know him and to have accepted him and let him guide our lives, and we know that God the Father is there watching over us, and we pray to him, and he answers our prayers, and he provides for us. The Holy Spirit is living in you, and he is there to be a helpmeet. He's to be our guide. He's to be a friend, closer than any brother. He's there in you for that purpose. So without him, we have no Christian experience. He's the source of knowledge for one who believes on Jesus and for one who is born again. And it's the Holy Spirit that made you born again. Jesus wasn't the one who did that. It was the Holy Spirit. Do you remember how he came into Jesus' life? Because Jesus did not act without the Holy Spirit empowering him. Remember when he was baptized? Remember what John tells us he saw? He saw the Holy Spirit descending as a dove and lighting upon Jesus. Now, we don't ever hear another mention of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit at that time empowered Jesus, and he lived in Jesus. That's how he was able to do much. Yes, he was God, but the Holy Spirit is the power of God in this world. Now, he's always been here. He was there in the creation. Jesus was orchestrating everything, but the Holy Spirit was there. He's always been there. God is not divided. God is not, we think of him as triune, and we can't put that all together in our mind, but the Holy Spirit has always been a part of the Godhead. And we must never forget that. We can't divorce him from the rest of God, from the Father or from the Son. Now the Holy Spirit is so necessary to the believer in helping the believer succeed at whatever it is that God wants the believer to do. God has something he wants you to do. He does. And you cannot do it on your own. The Holy Spirit has to help you to do it. And you'd be amazed at the things he wants to help you with. And yet, many times we deny him that opportunity. So, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we are changed. And we can never return to the person we were before we were born again. I'm so glad. Because we would migrate right back. That's the place we're most comfortable. Living in the flesh. Following the flesh, doing what the flesh wants, and yet the Holy Spirit will never let us go back there. And I'm so grateful. After a certain point, we don't have a say in it. He's the one who guides us. In the last 6 weeks, we've looked at many of the scriptures that talk about the Spirit and the Spirit of God, but we're going to look at some of them again tonight from a little different aspect. So, it's not that sometimes we miss things. We look at a passage of Scripture and we don't see all that it conveys to us in the way of thought. And if we meditate upon it or we think about it, then we pick up more out of that. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Romans deals greatly with the Holy Spirit and the way he works. And so we're gonna go through the 8th chapter of Romans tonight and see. Now, some of this you've already heard. Some of this we've already used in previous nights, but we're going to use it again tonight. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start with the first verse, with the very first verse, because the very first verse is important to every one of us, because it tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the secret, folks. If we're going to walk after the Spirit, we won't have anything to do with the flesh. We will put the flesh under, and that's part of what fasting and prayer is about. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, you don't have to worry about the law. He's not going to take you any place you shouldn't be. He's not going to take you any place you shouldn't go. And if you think about going a place where he doesn't want you to go, he's going to let you know. You're going to feel that little small voice. You're going to feel that little tug at your heart saying, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't go there. And that's what he's going to do. For verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that seems like a contradiction. We are human. We are living in this temple of flesh. But the Holy Spirit is also living in this temple of flesh. And he wants to keep us. He wants to keep us from sin. If you have a habitual sin, he can keep you from it. If you have a sin you like to practice every once in a while. Now, you can laugh, but folks, I happen to live in this piece of flesh right here, and I know that happens, okay? Every once in a while, there is a piece of sin that we really would like to enjoy. And what'd you say? Well, yeah, the one that lives near the freezer or lives just inside that door when the light comes on when you open it. Okay. You know, isn't it great that we know Jesus enough, that we know the Holy Spirit enough, that we can laugh because we are seeing ourselves. And we are looking at the truth. We may not like it, but we can look at it anyway. And so we need to walk after the Spirit. Now I think to understand the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, we just have to look at the way Jesus walked. Jesus never did anything for himself. Never. And so many times, the things we do is for us. And we can know instantly, if it's for us, we are walking in the flesh. Not in the Spirit. I want to say something about Jesus, and what I say you can verify by reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus never did anything for himself, but always for someone else. Never did he do anything for himself, always for someone else. And let's just take an example. You've got the feeding of the 5,000. Does it tell us that Jesus participated eating? No, it just tells us that he blessed the bread and the fish and gave them to eat. We don't read in the scriptures that he participated in that meal. He was doing this for the people. We never see where he healed his own tired body or his own broken body. No, but he healed a lot of other people. He never made food for himself. Remember what the devil tempted him with? The first temptation, the devil said, make some bread out of those stones. And he could have, but he didn't. He never was focused on himself, except for one night, as he anticipated what was going to happen the next day. And that was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that the Lord would take the cup that he was about to drink. Oh, he loved us. He still does. And he was willing to drink that cup, knowing that it was a cup of sorrow and pain and torture. We don't even read that he ate his own food when he provided food for the disciples, when he provided food for the 4,000, the 5,000. Now, you have to read all about the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000, but have you ever read that Jesus shared with them the food? No. He gave them the food, but we just don't read about his eating it. As you read through the Gospels, you will not find one single example of where Jesus did anything for himself. Now, that's a lot different than us folks. I know I do things for myself every day. Now, is it sin? Not if it's of faith, but is it of faith? I'm going to ask you some questions. I don't expect anybody to answer. These questions are just so that you might look inward a little bit and think about it. I got up the other day. I my wife will tell you, I like to plan breakfast the night before, so I know exactly what I'm going to fix, okay? Bacon, eggs, hash, whatever it's going to be. And when I got up one morning this past week, I had it all planned out. I knew exactly what I was going to eat. I knew exactly what I was going to fix for her. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, what should I eat for breakfast this morning? For an instant, I wished I hadn't asked the question. Because it wasn't what I'd planned. In fact, he said, you shouldn't eat very much. And I like breakfast. But the Holy Spirit directed me as to what I was to eat that morning. Now, none of us are going to habitually get up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to have for breakfast? We're going to say, well, let's see what's in the refrigerator. I'll get off some of this and some of that, and some more of this. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we should be talking to him all the time. We should be. We should be talking to him. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Which way do you want me to go this morning? Should I go this way or should I go that way to where I'm going? Or should I go at all? There are times he does not want us going at all because he knows there's something out there that we don't want to encounter. Connie and I pray for your safety every morning. Every morning. I don't know of a morning that we haven't prayed for your safety in 6 years. And she's not here, so I won't pick on her, but you know, even Faye, when she had the accidents, we had been praying for her safety. But the Holy Spirit has things he wants for each one of us. There are things he wants us to do, things and ways to go about it. And he expects us to do that. Now, a minute ago, we read the first four verses of Romans 8. I'd like you to look back at the fourth verse for a clue about knowing when we are walking in the Spirit rather than the flesh. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's not abnormal to walk after the Spirit. Yes, it is natural to walk after the flesh because we've been doing that all of our life. And we are comfortable there. And so one of the things about growing and one of the things about expanding your world and your experiences, you have to get out of your comfort zone if you're going to grow, if you're going to go forward for the Lord. He's going to take you out of your comfort zone. You're going to run into people that you can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be so uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. Now, I spent a lot of time walking after the flesh. I'm ashamed to tell you that, but I do. And I'm sure that some of you probably have the same problem. You walk after the flesh because you're comfortable there. That's what you've always done. Last Sunday night, I shared with you the secret about being in the place where the Holy Spirit can empower you. And that is through prayer and fasting. The disciples on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, Pentecost was one of the feast times, and they were already fasting. Think about that. They were already fasting when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They weren't doing it to get him to fall on them, but they were doing it because that was required in their law. And so if you want the power of the Holy Spirit on your life and you are willing to show God that you're willing to put the flesh under, that's when you will find the Holy Spirit empowering you. Empowering you to fast, empowering you to pray, guiding you in your prayers for whether it be for someone or whether it be for a ministry. We won't be praying. When you're praying and fasting, we're not praying, Lord, give me something good for lunch. No, that's not the way we'll be praying. We'll be praying, Lord, bless this ministry, or bring more people into this ministry, or help us to tell someone about Jesus. Maybe a specific person. That's the kind of prayer we should do. It will be not imprecatory prayer, it'll be intercessory prayer. And it will not be for ourselves. It will be for God's kingdom, for God's ministry, for the church, for the ministry of the church. That's the kind of praying we should be doing when we're fasting. Fasting and prayer is the way to get power. Jesus said that there were times when only by prayer and fasting could we accomplish the job that needed to be done. Only by prayer and fasting. The disciples, they couldn't do the job because they weren't praying and fasting. Jesus could do it because he regularly did so. So what do I mean by the statement, if you are doing anything for the physical body, you are not walking in the Spirit? If you're doing anything for the physical body, you are not walking in the Spirit. Man. Could that be true? Is that possible? That if we're doing something for ourselves, we're not walking in the Spirit. Jesus never did anything for himself. He was always doing for others because he walked in the Spirit. He showed us that it can be done because he did it. He showed us that we could live sinlessly because he did it. He showed us. He gave us the example. Now it's up to us to try and emulate him, to try and do as he did. But it's going to go against every fiber of your body because the body is flesh. You may laugh. You can know that you're not walking in the Spirit if you're doing this for your flesh. The reason that I know that you're not doing this in the Spirit is because the Spirit doesn't eat pork chops. Think about that. We become so involved in providing for ourselves. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? I've got a pain. And I'm not making any fun of AB. AB's got some real pain that he's dealing with. And not just in the shoulder, but other places too. But, I've got a pain. I've got to rest this. I need to lay down and you know, let the pain go away. We have to understand, to walk in the Spirit, we cannot be motivated by the flesh. We might mix in some spiritual activities, but most of our motives are to satisfy the flesh. Think about it. From the time you get up in the morning, you plan your day, you're going to shop. Why are you going to shop? Well, so I can feed the flesh. So I can get stuff the flesh likes. We have to eat. We have to feed these bodies. We are stewards of these bodies. You are a steward of the body you live in. And God expects you as a steward to take care of it. But that doesn't have to be the primary reason for your living. You take care of it. But can you try and follow the Holy Spirit as He wants to lead you as you walk in the Spirit? There was only one time that I know where Jesus showed his humanity, and it's the only time that you find anything recorded like this. But there was one time when Jesus was traveling, and the Bible tells us he must needs go through Samaria. And so he went through Samaria because he knew that there was going to be a woman there that he was going to bring to himself, who was going to go out and lead many, many more people to the Lord from her town. In fact, she was going to bring some of the people from her town out, and they were going to believe on Jesus because they saw him and met him and knew who he was. But there's something takes place during that time where he must needs go through Samaria. The disciples were hungry, so they went into town to get food. And what does it tell us about Jesus? In John 4:6, it tells us this. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus' body got weary. He knows when we get tired. He knows when we exhaust the energy that we have, because he's experienced that. He doesn't condemn us for that. He sat down on the well because he was weary, but he knew that's where the woman was coming to. And so when God causes you to stop and rest, it doesn't mean you're supposed to take a nap. Okay. Keep your eyes open. Watch and see what opportunity God is going to give to you there as you rest. I was resting Friday night when this young man came to us. And as a result of that, we now are going to have a ministry with him. And I would imagine before long he will be coming here to become a part of our church family. When you're resting, keep your eyes open. So Jesus had to go through Samaria because he knew that there was a lady there that he needed to talk to. Now, there's a point that I'm trying to get across. If we are motivated by our flesh for any reason, we are not at that time walking in the Spirit. If we are motivated by our flesh at that point, in that period of time, we are not walking in the Spirit. To be walking in the Spirit, we must ignore the appetites and the desires of the flesh, and we must have the service to our Lord as our primary motive for doing what it is we're doing. Some of you are going to be working this week. You're going to be painting. It's a spiritual job, folks. You're painting the church. You are expending your energy. You are investing in the Lord's work. So the mundane things that we do could be part of our motive in serving the Lord. I'm sure when Tim is studying for a Sunday school lesson, he's not thinking about, you know, what he can do, whether he can go to the beach next weekend or get a day off or something. No, he's in the Word. He's looking, he's reading, he's asking the Holy Spirit to guide him. We all need to do that. We need to ask him. And there's nothing wrong with that. He doesn't mind. You've ever been around a small child? And no, Becky, not have you ever been a small child, but have you ever been around one? And honey, pick up your toys. Why? Honey, don't do that. Why? Honey, you don't want to pet the bumblebee. Why? You'll find out. We get frustrated. We say, just be quiet and do what I tell you. Because I'm bigger than you are. And I'm saying, it's not that way with God. It's not that way with His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit doesn't mind our asking. Which way should I go? What should I do? How do I go about this? He doesn't mind that. He's there for you. He's there to answer those questions. And the relationship we're talking about is walking in the Spirit by asking Him, which direction do I go here? What do I do? How do I go about this? You may not realize just how dominant the flesh is over the Spirit. Think through a normal day. When you wake up, give the Lord thanks for giving you a new day. And then you decide, well, what am I going to put on today? And you decide. And what am I going to have for breakfast? And you decide. Is that walking in the Spirit? Not necessarily, because we're not thinking. We're thinking about me. We're not thinking about Him. We're not, our motivation is not, how do I serve God with this day? Perhaps that thought comes later as you get alert and woke up and begin your day and you start thinking, what do I need to do today for the Lord? How do I please the Lord today? Remember, you've probably heard this someplace before, but God has a purpose for every day that He gives you. He has a purpose for that day. I've heard that somewhere, maybe here. When you get to the end of the day, can you say, I have fulfilled God's purpose for me for today? Or do you say, I wonder what I was supposed to do today? And you will begin to change the reasons that you proceed through your day the way you do. Now, in the second verse of Romans 8, makes a statement of fact that can help us. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I will not sin. If I am walking in the Spirit, I will not sin because He will make me free of the law. If I am walking in the flesh, I'm probably going to sin. And the same thing goes for each of you. If you're walking in the flesh, you may sin. Doesn't say you have to, but the flesh, that's the propensity of the flesh. There is a natural desire in our bodies to sin. And eventually, if we walk long enough in the flesh, we're going to sin. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you will not sin. Now, did you ask the Lord what he wanted you to do or have for breakfast this morning? Okay, you're evading the question. And you think, well, no, can't I just get up on Sunday mornings? I have such and such. Well, try asking him one morning and see what he tells you. I was sort of surprised last week when he told me what I was supposed to do. My wife was sort of surprised too. In Romans chapter 14, let's look at the last few verses of Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans 14, beginning at verse 17 through 23. For the kingdom of God is not, now this was hard for me to accept, is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of him. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Paul was talking here about eating food that had been sacrificed to idols. And that was the custom of that of Paul's day. They would have a sacrifice at one of the idol temples. They would have all this food brought in. They would eat what they wanted, and then all the surplus food, they would take it out to the street and sell it. And people, you get a good deal, but you get, you know, greatly reduced prices, and so people would buy it. But some people would think, well, this is offered to idols. I'm eating after an idol. And some people would think, well, no, they may have sacrificed it to idols, but I'm just eating it for the nutrition I can get out of it. But there were weak people, and sometimes if the weak people saw someone eating food, they know they'd seen them buy it in the market, it had been offered to idols, then they would think, oh, he's worshiping an idol. He has an idol in his life. And so Paul is talking about destroying our testimonies for sake of the flesh. I don't know of anybody who drinks in here. I would hope not. Because that is a wicked thing. And God has said that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and he who is deceived thereby is not wise. I know Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. That was because Timothy was in a part of the world where there was no clean water. And there was no other way to find. They didn't have chlorine, a drop of chlorine they could put in the water. The only thing that he could drink that was not contaminated, that would not make him sick, was a little bit of alcohol. But he didn't drink it to be drinking alcohol. He drank it to be healthy and not be sick. And so we're not supposed to drink alcohol. We don't need to. We've got clean water. We've got pure water. You can get all the water you want. Get it in our kitchen if you haven't got, can't get it anyplace else. That's why we have it there. And so Paul was telling the people and explaining to them, don't eat what's sacrificed to an idol if it's going to offend somebody, if it's going to make them unhappy. So he goes on in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And then this last verse, verse 23 of Romans 14. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And then these last few words are the words I really want us to think about. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why do you do the things you do? Because your body says that's what you need to do? Most of us, yes. Or that's what we want to do. That's what we're comfortable doing. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to understand. We're to have faith that this is what God wants for us for the moment. This is pretty serious stuff, folks. It really is. And God wouldn't ask us to do anything that we couldn't do, anything that he wouldn't help us do. And that's why we have been given the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to live in us, so that he can help us walk by faith the whole way, not just part way. I will admit, I'm not walking the whole way. I would like to, and it's going to take more effort on my part to do that. And maybe you are experiencing the same thing. You are comfortable in the way you are walking, the places you are walking, because you don't have to keep asking, Holy Spirit, what should I do here? What should I do there? You just do what you think needs to be done. And when you do that, you are doing it in your own strength. And people, we don't have much strength. We might think we do, but we don't have much strength. The Holy Spirit wants to be your strength. He wants to help you in your prayer life. He wants to help you in your Bible reading. There are mornings that I get up. Now, usually we get up early. First thing Connie does is she has some prayer time. And I usually will read my Bible. But every once in a while, I'm sharing my heart with you. Every once in a while, there's something else I want to read. And the Bible's not the first book I pick up. I don't know if any of you ever do that, but it'll be something that's spiritual, but it's not the Bible. And the Bible is a very special book. The Bible is our guide for our soul. And if I don't spend time here, I'm not starting my soul off in the right direction. Even though I might be reading something that's good. So we need to spend time. Tim mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. We need to spend time in this book every day. And it's best if we do it first thing in the morning, because we don't know what the day holds for us, and you may not have time in any other part of the day to read your Bible. Oh, well, I have some time after lunch. I'll read it after lunch. And the morning deteriorates, and by lunchtime, you've got four or five different fires going and got to put them out. So we want to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But we do walk by the flesh. And if anybody thinks they don't walk by the flesh, I've got some news for you. Now, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, and you were possibly sinning. You might ask how I arrive at that conclusion. Okay, let's look at the last few verses of Romans 14th chapter. Romans 14, 17 through 23. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen to that. righteousness and peace and joy. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another, not ourselves, but another person. For meat destroy not the work of God. And then it concludes with, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So do you believe that whatever you're doing at any given moment is the will of God for your life? And if it's not, then it's not of faith. And if it's not of faith, what does the Bible say? It says it's sin. We think, well, you know, I'm not a sinner. I'm living for the Lord. I live a good life, a clean life. Yeah. So let's give some thought to the last eight words of this passage. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's talking about eating things offered to idols and sacrifice. But there's a greater principle here. And that's what we want to look at for just a couple minutes tonight. Everything to be done is to be done in the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do should be done in the Holy Spirit, even determining what we're supposed to eat for breakfast. I'm going to be sort of curious. I'm never going to ask you, but I'm going to be sort of curious as to how many of you go through this next week getting up and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to eat for breakfast? Okay, God, what am I supposed to have for lunch? For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how much we are walking in the flesh as God's people? Isn't it amazing? It really is. We meet here together tonight so that we can be aware of how we are supposed to walk. And it's not going to help us to do that walk unless we are yielding to the Holy Spirit. He's in you. When you get out of bed in the morning, he's getting out of bed with you. When you go to bed at night, he's going to bed with you. He's in you. Every place you go, he's there. Because he's in you. Every place. And he wants to guide you. He wants to make you successful for the Lord. Now, for the last six Sunday nights, we've looked and studied about our experience with regard to the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we studied about having the power of the Spirit working through us. We get that power by prayer and fasting. When we are fasting, we are working to put our body under the control of God's Spirit. It changes us and it redirects our thought process. We no longer think about what we want, but what God wants and what we can do for other people, what we can do to serve each other. It changes us. Have you ever been told that God has a purpose for you? Yeah. You've probably heard that someplace. God has a specific job for each one of you to do. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to do that job. Our primary prayer should be for the Holy Spirit to lead us in the perfect will of God. I know God has a permissive will. He will let you do what you want to do. If it's not too badly sinful, he doesn't like sin of any kind. But there are times when he will let you make up your own mind, go your own way, and then there will be consequences down the road. But wouldn't it be better if we lived in the Spirit, if we walked in the Spirit? There should be a change in our thinking about our priorities. Is my priority to make money or to be happy or to be successful? To be liked by everybody? No, it's not. Because that's not God's priority. God's priority is to do His will in His way and in His time. That's the will of God. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? 1 Corinthians 12, 13 tells us this. We'll close with this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That one Spirit is God's Holy Spirit, and He lives in you if you are in Jesus. When we get to heaven, we'll be with Jesus. But for now, we should do all that we can to walk in the Spirit and to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. So now that you have the information about the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do with it? That's your decision to make. What are you going to do with it? It'll be interesting to see what God does with us as a church family. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word, for giving us so much of it, for giving us your Holy Spirit. And Father, as we minister, as we all go about our own lives, may He be the one leading us. May we be willing to follow His leading. May we be willing to walk in the Spirit. Father, help us to do that. Help us not to give in to our fleshly desires and our fleshly lusts. But Father, help us to walk in your Spirit. We know that we are weak. We know that you are strong. We know that we cannot be successful without your Holy Spirit working through us. So Father, help each one of us yield our will to His will. Help each one of us to find the place that He would have us to be. And Father, may that be the place where we stay. May your will be done in each of our lives, in each of our hearts. Help us, Father, to minister to those around us, loved ones, family, neighbors. And Father, use us to bring glory to yourself. And we will praise you for all that you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.